Good evening. It's good to see everyone out this evening. I want to welcome our visitors. You're our honored guests, and I hope that you find the lesson to your benefit as well as ours. There was a major concern, at least for me, and when I look at the world, when I look at some of those that call themselves Christians, that they have lost the love of God. They have lost the love for God's Word. They're looking for something that is going to satisfy them. They're looking for something that is much more easier, perhaps, clip notes for the Bible, so that they don't have to spend a lot of time reading. And we need to remember, as we read a few minutes ago, that the Scriptures were inspired by God. And as such, it's important that the Scriptures become of great value to us. In the 19th Psalm, the writer says that the Word of God is to be desired more than gold. More than gold. And why gold? Well, first of all, gold is very scarce. It is estimated that there's only 168,180 tons of gold in this world. To put it into perspective, if you had a gold cube and you laid it out, it would be approximately 1 in about 12 more feet of a basketball court. So it's not a lot. But gold has value. It's always had value. And, if we look at history, there's a gold rush in this country of ours, in California. Most of the ancient people used gold as a symbol of wealth. And so gold is very, very expensive and durable. And to kind of put it into another bit of perspective here is, if you had bought 16 ounces of gold in January, that investment would have cost you $20,000. $20,595, to be exact. If you were to sell that gold today, it would sell for $24,405. That's an 18% increase on your investment. If you wait a couple more months, when gold is supposed to go up again, that investment would be worth $25,200. That's 22% on your investment. And if you waited till the end of the year to sell your gold, it would be worth $25,600, or 26%. Now, I'm not a big financial person, but I'll tell you, if somebody offered me 25% on my investment, I'd take it. So gold has always retained its value, and that's why it's important. And that's why the psalmist in Psalm 19 says that there is something even greater than gold, better than gold. And that is God's Word. As we read in our scripture reading, we'll read it again. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. Now, regardless of who wrote the books, regardless of when it was written or how it was written, it was God who breathed the words to be said, to be written down. And there's weight in that. Now, it's not like somebody in this world wrote the Bible, and, you know, it's just his opinion. No, this is God inspiring men to write his words down for our benefit. So regardless of who wrote it, how they wrote it, or when they wrote it, it doesn't matter. Because of what we know about God, because he is perfect, his word is perfect. And it's a great teacher for us. We're told that the commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. And most of my readings are taken from Psalm 19. A pure and holy God cannot have an impure word, or an imperfect word, or an unholy word revealed to man. A pure God can only deliver purity, because that is his nature. And we, as his children, need to understand, and we don't have to worry about what is going on in the world, because we can look at the scriptures and understand what God wants us to be, what God wants us to do, what God thinks about everything else in the world. You know, for the people that say that the Bible is no longer relevant, it is. There is still sin in the world. There is still corruption in the world. There is still hatred in the world. Same as the time that Jesus walked the earth, and even before. So it is relevant to us. And we're told that the Word of God is clean and endures forever. It will never fade. It will never corrode. It will never diminish in some sort of impurity. Because it is clean. It makes us clean when we are obedient to the Scriptures. When all is said and done, we find that the Word of God is true and righteous. There is nothing false about his word. And that is one thing that you can take to the bank, as they say. If you look at verse 7 of Psalm 19, these are some of the things, beginning with verse 7, of what the word of God does for us. It says, it revives our soul. And that teaching precepts are easy to understand. It causes to rejoice in our hearts. It opens our eyes. It causes reverence or fear of God in our spirit. And it directs the steps of our lives. Where can we find such a book, if not in the Scriptures? You know, there are many people that still believe that the Bible may have been the Word of God, but throughout the ages, it has been misquoted, it has been mistranslated, and even if it is the Word of God, it still contains error. Well, in Jude 3, it speaks about contending earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. The expression "once for all" means that it was properly written, and they're written just one time. There are no other expectations that we can have there. No newer gospels. We're not sitting there looking for something else, a new revelation to come. And, you know, for the Mormons who say that the Bible became so corrupt that God had to give another revelation, which was from Joseph Smith, let them look at this, what the Scriptures say. 2 Peter tells us that his power is divine and has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So according to this verse, we now have all things we need for eternal life and how to live in godliness. You know, we've been in our adult class, we're starting the study of the family, the importance of the role of the parents in the family. You know, we're the ones that set the tone for our children. We're the ones that are going to be, that they're going to be looking to as an example of what it means to be a Christian. And we do this at home. That's where it all starts. Now, there's some teaching that goes on in the Bible studies that we have here during worship services and Wednesday nights. But the responsibility starts with the parents. If it's not important for the parents, it's not important to the child. That's the example that we're setting. And if we expect that they're going to get everything they need to live in this world as a good Christian, is just going to happen for 45 minutes on Sunday and 45 minutes on Wednesday night to teach them all the values and what God expects of them. You know, Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And he says, I marvel that you are turning away as soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. And Paul gives him the warning a little bit further down in the chapter. It says, but even if we or an angel from God preach another gospel to you, that you have received, let him be accursed. And he says, let him be accursed two more times in that chapter. So, what Paul is telling us is, in the scriptures, it is complete. You have everything that you need to have an understanding about God, to have an understanding of what he expects of us, to have an understanding how we should raise our children, to have an understanding of how I should live my life. You know, and when Timothy writes, or when Paul writes to Timothy that all scripture is inspired, in order for this to be true, that means that we have the complete Word of God. Because it says all Scripture, not just a part of the Scripture. It says all Scripture. And the last time I looked at the word all, it meant everything. So the Scripture encompasses everything. It is complete. There is nothing lacking in it. Now, under the old law, the Israelites were given a warning in a straightforward manner. This, whatever I have commanded you, be careful to observe. You shall not add to it or take away from it. Deuteronomy 12, verse 23. And Solomon, speaking with the wisdom from God, says, do not add to the words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Proverbs 30, verse 6. And again, you know, the book of Revelation ends with these words. It says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words in this book of this prophecy, God will take his part from them. He will take his part from the book of life. So, you know, the revelation if we're not supposed to take or add anything to the book of Revelation, is it okay to add to the other scriptures? No. The standard is God has given us a complete scriptures, His words. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. Now, granted that there are some of the things in scriptures that are hard for us to do, but who are we to direct our own lives? God knows what's better for us. And I know that I have been guilty of, when I was younger, to say, you know, I have been successful because I pulled myself from the bootstraps of, you know, look at the economic environment I came from and look at where I'm at today. In reality, it was God who gave me everything. It was God who gave me the knowledge. It was God who gave me the training. And for a long time, I didn't pay him back. For a long time, I said, I did this by myself. And when I study God's word, I'm put to shame. Because He did everything for me. Because God is perfect, His word is perfect. His word is wise and good and holy. And it is compatible for us to adapt into the type of lives that we live. And what the scriptures have to offer is something more superior than anything in this world can offer us. That's why Psalms 19 says that the word of God should be more desirable than gold. In Isaiah 40, verses 25 through 26, the writer says, to whom then will you liken me, that I would be equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one of them is missing. Who else can we say that knows the name of every star that was created? Now, for us, it would seem an impossible task. Not for God. And if He can do this, think of what He has done for us. There was a time when all of us were separated from God because we were all sinners. And even if we tried to live a righteous, pious life, it was never going to be good enough to get us into heaven. An atonement had to be made for our condition. And God sacrificed His Son for me and for you and for the rest of the world and the rest of the mankind that is yet to come. What are you willing to sacrifice? You know, sometimes we look and we, as was mentioned in this morning's Bible study about where our priorities were, some people may find coming to service for worship and then staying for Bible class is just too much. Or coming on Wednesday nights is just too much. Or it takes time away from what I need to do for my job, for my kids. Where is the priority? What are you willing to sacrifice? God didn't hold anything back. And I've known several men that have given their lives so that others might live. When I was in Vietnam, I had that happen. And I've always been perplexed by it. Because I can't figure out what went through his mind. And what made me so special that he would willingly give his life to save me and save the rest of my partners. It gives me something to think about. Now in verse 7, the writer says that God's word is more valuable than gold, sweeter than honey. God's word is precious. He has written a revelation of himself for us. And it is to be desirable more than gold. Not just more than gold, but he said, yay, more than gold. And fine gold at that. See, God's word has value. God's word is something that we should carry in our hearts, because it is God's word. And God is perfect. Man will always let you down. Friends will always let you down. Your employer will always let you down. But God never will. Because he is just and holy. And he has made it very clear what I need to do to be saved, how I'm supposed to live my life. And so on the judgment day, there's not going to be any surprises for me. You know, I can't say, you didn't say that part. And he's going to say, yes, I did. And he's going to give me the passage, the book, and the verse. And if I'm the type of individual who never took time to study the Word of God, because I thought it was important, but not that important. I had other things that kind of got in the way, other priorities. So there will be no surprises. I mean, and it's also tells us that it's sweeter than honey. And the word is, the way it's worded in here, it's to show great value over material wealth. Even greater than our senses. Honey is sweet and pleasant to eat, except for Nathan, who had a reaction to it. But, you know, honey is very sweet, and it's good. But even better than that, God's word is sweeter still. And God's word is also profitable. The scripture tells us that it is profitable for reproof and correction and instruction. And we as Christians need to have reproof and correction in our lives. Now, there are those that criticize the Bible, saying, you know, it's too hard. You know, the position of women in the church doesn't correspond to what females want today. The importance of the family also is not important to a lot of people today. And there are many churches out there, so-called churches, denominations, which profess to teach the Word of God,
but not completely. Not completely. They pick and choose what they want to highlight, what is important to them. And we as individuals with itchy ears follow. But the Word of God is powerful. Romans 1:16 says, and this is Paul talking, says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks." The power of salvation. Nothing else that we can do in and of itself is going to give us salvation. Now, we had studied about Cornelius. Cornelius was a good man. He prayed to God, even though he was a Roman. He gave to the poor. But because he hadn't obeyed the gospel, that was not enough for him to be saved. God's word has the authority to rebuke us, to correct us, because we are under the authority of God. And when something is exposed in our lives that is wrong, it is wrong. It's that simple. And you say, well, how do you find out what's right and wrong? Well, to find out what's right and wrong, all you need to do is know the Word of God. It's not the morals that the world puts on us that teach us what is right and what is wrong. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God because it is perfect. It is priceless. God has revealed everything to us. He has held nothing back. But we need to understand and know the Word of God. Scripture is very powerful. Again, in Psalm 19, with verses 11, 12, and 13, it says that it rebukes sin. It reveals sin, and it restrains sin. Now, God's justice may be delayed, but unquestionably, there will be a judgment day. And for those that look at the world and says, well, you know, look at all these people that are sinners, see how well they're doing. And I'm struggling here in my job. I'm struggling with my health. And look at these individuals, that godless individuals that have no disease. They're living their lives like there is tomorrow. No tomorrow. And that's exactly what they're doing. Because when we don't have God in our lives, there is no tomorrow. There is no hope. It's that simple to understand. No one is going to escape the judgment of God, whether I believe it or not. It is going to happen. So we see that that God's word is powerful, active, living, God-breathed, profitable for our lives. Do you see that? You know, when you read the scriptures, is there any awe to reading the scriptures like it once was? Think back of the very first time that you obeyed the gospel. You know, for me, I was walking in clouds. And if I look at myself today and am honest, that kind of, my zeal has kind of waned a bit. And I have to remind myself constantly who I am, where I need to go to improve the things in my life. This God's Word is not just a collection of thoughts. It is His revelation to us. He has told us who He is, what He has done, tells us who we are. We're His creation, created under the image of God, or in the image of God. And He tells us what He expects for us to do and be. Be holy because I'm holy. Be good. To treat our neighbors as ourselves. To place the people that we know ahead of us, that their needs come first and I come second. We truly understand that in order for us to become mature Christians, we need to read the Word of God, because there's value. There's a lot of value in that. And so do we meditate on all of God's Word, on all that He has done for us? Do we use God's words to challenge us to be better than I was yesterday? Unfortunately, sometimes there are Christians that don't crave the Word of God. And without the Word of God, there are malnourished, because something is missing. Just like the body needs food to survive, we need the Word of God to survive as well. You know, craving God's Word is not natural, I think, for people. It is something that we need to learn and develop an appetite for. You know, I never grew up studying the Bible, although my mother pampered to me a lot more than she did to my other brothers, because she wanted a priest in the family. And so I knew a lot more than my brothers and sisters. And when I got married, you know, Velmo said, you know, will you convert? He says, I said yes, but I don't recall. And for a long time in our marriage, I was not a Christian. I wasn't a bad person, but I was not a Christian. And when I obeyed the gospel, I think of all that I have missed all those years. So I've got a lot of things to make up. I've got a lot of correction to do. But I place my trust in God's Word. And I truly understand when the writer says that God's Word is to be desired more than gold, yea, more than fine gold, because it is what gives us life. It defines who we are. If you've never obeyed the gospel, then what value do you put on God's Word? Do we say it's important to you, but not for me? If we live our lives in sin, after we have obeyed the gospel, what are we saying about the value of God's word? It has no value. If I continue in sin, it has no value for me. But those are the challenges that we need to look at. You know, where else can you look and find something that is perfect and complete? You can find something that's equivalent to the scriptures that is perfect and complete, let me know. Because my desire is to please God. And that should be the goal for each and every one of us. To take the importance of the scripture and not just know them, but to live them. Because our goal is to get to heaven, to be with our Creator one day. And for some, the time may come quicker than we think. For others, it might take a little bit longer. But that still doesn't change the fact that one day we will all die. And one day we will all face judgment. So take advantage while you still can. If you need to be baptized, we can fill the baptistry in a few minutes. And we do have hot water. If you need the prayers of the congregation, you know, we are your spiritual family. We are here to help. And if there's anything that we can do, let us know. Because you are my brother and sister. And I should be concerned about your welfare and where you